earth, and sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Nature offers a lot of opportunities for families to bond. That's one message of It's a Jungle Up There, More Tales from the Treetops. Margaret Laumann is a highly acclaimed tree canopy ecologist at the New College of Florida, and she co-authored the book with her two sons. In it, she talks about raising her family as a scientist mom, doing research together in the rainforest. I caught up with her at the 2007 meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Here is Meg Laumann. Would you like to maybe talk a little bit about your experiences with your family doing science research in tree canopies?
My boys did each get harnesses when they were 5 and 7, respectively. I guess it was one of those situations where mom had to think, should I leave them at the bottom of the tree with the poisonous snakes, or should I let them climb with mom? And I was a single parent, so I had a dilemma. I had to resolve that issue or obviously give up my profession, which I didn't want to do. So teaching the boys to climb and having them become involved in mom's work became a way of life for the three of us. And we have become a team. So much so that the last book I just wrote, called It's a Jungle Up There, is actually co-authored with the two boys.
Could you maybe talk a little bit about a moment, perhaps, when you were raising your young family, when you realized that this was really the right thing to do? I imagine that there were some doubts, and there was all kinds of risks involved with it.
Sure. Two stories come to mind. One, I think, is just a little way of illustrating the different kinds of knowledge that my boys learned. I got a call from the Williams College daycare when James was in the daycare and I was a biology professor at Williams. And the lady was quite agitated, and she said, "Is it possible that your son could identify the deadly nightshade plant on the playground?" And I said, "Well, certainly," because I knew that both boys had come with me on numerous nature walks up in the Massachusetts forests. And so she said, "Oh, thank you very much." And it turns out that one of the other daycare children had eaten the berries of this plant, and it's very poisonous. It's deadly poisonous, actually. And James had told the teacher, and so they had rushed this child off to the hospital, thanks to his observation, and probably saved his life, or at least helped him not have a very difficult recovery. And so to this day, that family is very grateful for James's powers of observation, and they did go back and remove those plants from the college daycare. So I always tell people it doesn't hurt to know a little bit about nature, because sometimes your life could depend on it. As far as really good experiences that we've shared as a family, I'd have to say that the Amazon in Peru is probably our favorite place to go. We work on a very long walkway up there, and thanks to the boys' patience and diligence, and also the fun of going up there at night with their flashlights, they did help me discover a new beetle that was eating a bromeliad that lives in this part of Peru. And so that was a really exciting moment, fun for them, the results of a lot of patient watching and waiting. And that kind of experience, even though it might sound a little bit boring, is something that obviously we'll share forevermore. And so it's really neat to have those kinds of pieces or chapters of our history together.
And I understand that there's, in addition to possibly just studying these insects, these bugs, that there are other cultural things you do with them. Would you like to maybe to tell us about one?
I do always remind the boys that when we're in other countries, we need to be very appreciative of different cultural attributes, because let's face it, most people don't live like Americans. That's probably a blessing. Obviously, one of the interesting attributes in other cultures is that most countries eat insects, although Americans tend not to, or at least not that we know of. So when we're in Peru, for example, they oftentimes eat a grub in the palm trunks called suri, and you actually pop the head off and you're supposed to put the little writhing body in your mouth. I don't really like those, but sometimes you have to just respect the special treats that the village offers. In Asia, obviously, they eat scorpions, they eat hissing cockroaches. There's all sorts of amazing things that might sound pretty awful to us, but it does represent, as I remind remind my college students, very high protein, low cholesterol diet, very sustainable. So in some weird, wonderful way, we might someday find ourselves eating things that we don't eat today because we know that the amount of fuel required to grow grains and especially meat is incredibly high. So the boys have engaged in a lot of that. We're all members of the Explorers Club in New York, which is a very neat, venerable organization of explorers. They have an annual banquet that features a lot of insect hors d'oeuvres. And so last year we were all privileged to stand with E.O. Wilson and nibble on ant candies together.
I'm looking at some pictures of yourself doing research. I imagine it was hard to keep you inside as a child. Would you like to maybe tell us a moment in your life when you decided, yes, I want to become a scientist, and yes, this is what I want to do, and this is where I want to be?
My family reminds me that I was about 3 years old when I decided to become a scientist. I really was one of those kooky kids that collected everything. I had a little pile of special stones. I had a collection of shells. I had a collection of twigs, if you can believe it, that I loved because in the winter they had nothing on them but these very interesting shapes of buds on the ends of them. I had a dry collection of wildflowers from the sides of the highways in upstate New York. So I really did love nature from birth, it would seem, and no one else in my family shared that passion. So I do have to thank my parents for being so kind as to stop the car and let me jump out and pick a new wildflower that I had just seen and press it in the telephone book. So there's not any experience per se that might have been in my past that was a eureka moment of any sort. But I will say that in seventh grade, I went to a camp, a very special nature camp, just for 2 weeks. And again, I have to thank my mom and dad for even allowing me to do that at such a young age. But that camp really changed my life because the director was a great biology teacher of young people. And out of that very small program came a lot of colleagues that I still have, people who work at the Smithsonian, heads of World Wildlife Fund. So something really worked when a good teacher took young people into nature and we all together learned to love the leaves and the plants and the birds. So that was a really special year in my life because I think if I hadn't had that, I might have thought that nature was not cool, or I might have got that teenage bug where I needed to listen to records instead of listening to birds. And fortunately, I found a whole group of people and a really neat teacher that inspired me to think that science was cool.
That was tree canopy ecologist Meg Laumann, author of It's a Jungle Up There. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.